time. It's 5 o'clock.
Back as SALM.
The following program is sponsored by Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth. Brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. Well, I'm going to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. The members of the U.S. political establishment are in full panic mode. A colorful, renegade patriot has just stood up to the ideological perversity that they have used for decades to exploit the lives of Americans and the meaning of our country. GOP leaders are withering in fear at the thought of the Donald on stage to compete with the mega state syncopaths such as Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, and Mike Huckabee. Thus, all stops are being pulled out to smear this brazen interloper who refuses to bow to the corporate cronyists and the political establishment. What embarrasses these corporate, political, and media honchos with their rush to cancel all contracts they have with Mr. Trump as punishment for his chutzpah, because they have, throughout their adult lives, scorned love of country as a disease affecting right-wing bubbas, rubes. They can't grasp that there are grander things in this world than wealth and power. Now, Donald Trump is a wealthy guy and a powerful guy, but I think he is sincere in what he says, and he doesn't care about what people think. George Orwell wrote that the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. This is what Trump has signed on to, and he is fully aware of it. Trump has added to the discourse, added to what we have talked about for years, and that no one in Washington has addressed. He spoke this weekend, two events. He was in Las Vegas at the Freedom Fest. And it's basically the Freedom Fest is a gathering of a libertarians. And he repeated his charge that Mexico is sending violent offenders to the U.S. He said these people wreak havoc on our population. And then he went to Phoenix, where he again killed it. Those in attendance said that it was one of the greatest political speeches. And, you know, I've heard the pundits say that it's, you know, it wasn't a political speech. It was this stream of consciousness thing. That's what's good about Donald Trump. It's not prepared.
Yeah, it's off the cuff.
Yeah, people like that. Hello? You know, the pundits can't believe it. They just can't believe it. Listen to what the governor of Arizona had to say. She was being interviewed by Don Lemon on CNN. Listen to this.
Well, I believe that Mr. Trump is kind of telling it like it really truly is, you know, being the governor of the gateway of illegal immigration for 6 years, we had to deal with a lot of things. And I think that the people of Arizona realize that we pick up the tab for the majority of the violence that comes across our border in regards to the drug cartels, the smugglers, the drop houses. It has been horrendous. And of course, they come through Arizona and therefore end up in other states.
So you think he's right? You think he's right?
And it is. Well, no, I think everybody knows that he's right in regards to that they're coming across our border. You know, we have. Well, I find it interesting that people, you know, 1,000 miles away can rely on whatever statistics they want to rely on, and they can come up with any data they want to. But if you come to Arizona and you talk to the people that live on the border, you talk to the people that live in Arizona, you will find that, you know, the facts are not true. We know from their data, from the federal data, that they only stop or apprehend 1 out of 4 illegal people crossing our border.
What evidence do you have that the government sends their...
Everybody knows it. This man, or this animal, that shot the wonderful, that beautiful woman in San Francisco, this guy was pushed out by Mexico. We bring him back and they push him out. Mexico pushes back people across the border that are criminals, that are drug dealers.
Do you think that he should change his tone or apologize for anything that he said?
That we have a horrendous problem, and we've got an illegal immigration problem in our country, and I think the people overwhelmingly understand and realize that. And we have to find a solution, and that solution is getting our border secured so we can deal with the other issues.
That's the governor of the great state of Arizona, where I have a lot of my listeners. Trump also turned to victims of crime to bolster his argument. He brought on stage Jamil Shaw Sr., a Southern California man whose 17-year-old son was shot and killed in 2008 by a man in the country illegally. Shaw went on stage and vividly described how his son was shot in the head, stomach, and hands while trying to block his face, and how he heard the gunshots as he talked to his son on the phone. Shaw said he trusted Trump and encouraged the crowds in both cities to do the same. So the media again is freaking out about Trump. I was watching Meet the Press because I wanted to see basically the Trump bashing that was going to go on, because you knew that was going to happen. The whole show was they talked about two things on the show: the Confederate flag and Trump. Okay, but they also interviewed Carly Fiorina. And of course, predictably, they're trying to get all these people to line up. They had Lindsey Graham-nesty was all over the place, too. Talking about how Trump is going to kill my party. Listen, Lindsey. I hate to tell you this, but you have succeeded in killing the party. You and John McCain and Boehner and McConnell have succeeded in killing the party. Listen to Carly Fiorina.
I think Donald Trump taps into an anger that I hear every day. People are angry that a common sense thing like securing the border or ending sanctuary cities is somehow considered extreme. It's not extreme. It's common sense. We need to secure the border. People are also angry at a professional political class of both parties that talks a good game, gives good speeches, but somehow nothing ever really changes. And people are angry as well at a double standard in the media.
So they were talking about how, first of all, she was pilfered for that. Okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. I saw that interview and how quickly Stephanopoulos just wanted to go another direction.
Yeah, because the thing is, she's right. People are angry. You see, the problem is the political class in Washington has no concept of that. Case in point, listen to Lindsey Graham-nesty, okay? Being interviewed on CNN. Here's Lindsey Graham-nesty, okay, on CNN. Let me see if I can get this thing to work here. man, give me 1 second here. Of course, they got to run these. You know, again, they force you to listen to these ads. And when I do the show prep, there is no ad. And then, of course, whenever I, you know, get ready to play it, there's an ad.
Campaigning today. You're right. Doing better in some places right. than others. But in the latest national poll, the latest CNN national poll, you're at 1%.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Donald Trump is at 12%. He has an event this weekend in Arizona where he claims he has to change the venue because so many people want to come hear him talk in Arizona this weekend. He's got to go to a bigger place. What is driving this fascination with him?
Well, I think he said something that has brought people who are frustrated about immigration system to life, but he also said it in a way that's going to kill my party. Here's the problem with the Republican.
No, you killed the party. I hate to tell you, you killed the party, Lindsey Grahamnesty. Okay, who is basically, he has always supported amnesty. And the reason why they support amnesty, and I've said this many times. Okay, the reason why those on the left support amnesty is because it is going to garner votes for the Democrat Party. Period. End of discussion. So, as I'm watching Meet the Press, they had on Rick Santorum. And Rick Santorum said exactly that. And Chuck Todd was shocked, and visibly upset when Rick Santorum said this. It reminded me of the scene in Casablanca. When the constable comes in and finds out that he's shocked to find out that there's gambling going on at Rick's. But he is he was visibly upset to think that Democrats support amnesty because they're going to win more elections because of it. But before I get to that, I want to have I've got Justin Duckman on from Talk Radio News out of Washington, D.C. Justin, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty well. How are you doing?
Good. Again, Donald Trump is just killing it over the weekend, man. He is just killing it. And the those in the media and those in the GOP establishment are just freaking out. They cannot understand it. It's amazing, dude.
No, it's true. And, you know, really, it seems like the political establishment right now is really criminalizing the idea of a primary process. You know, this really isn't anything new. You have challengers to the orthodoxy all the time, then. You know, the reason why we have primaries is for people to try to determine things, you know, to try to figure out what candidate best fits their ideals. And, you know, the fact that there's someone who the establishment and, you know, may not like doing pretty well, you know, on both sides of the aisle, you know, right now you have Bernie Sanders surging, you have Donald Trump surging, and you have the establishment essentially saying that this is, you know, not fair, even though this is exactly how our primary process works. It's a little ridiculous on the face of it.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. And of course, Hillary's going to come out today with her big speech on economics. She's going to talk about old ideas, i.e., we need to redistribute wealth, and too many of the people at the top are earning too much money. But what she fails to realize is that she is exactly what she's talking about. how's that going to work?
Oh, I mean, she doesn't fail to realize that she knows that she's had to just sort of adopt the language of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren because. You know, this is what the Democratic Party wants now. So she's, you know, very awkward in those shoes. So she's going to be speaking about something that she historically has not really been able to, you know, convince many people on. So it's going to be interesting to see how she tries to convey that to them.
Yeah. And again, these are not new ideas, okay? This is nothing new. income redistribution. What we really need is a redistribution of the truth. Okay, that's what we need in this country, a redistribution of the truth, because I think that Americans are entitled to it. They're entitled to the truth and not this same old from the members of the political elite and the establishment within the Beltway. So I think that you're seeing this populist surge, and I think that's the reason why, because people are sick and tired of the same old, same old. All right, I got to run, Justin. Thank you for calling the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
This vast right-wing conspiracy.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. This month, our great product on special is Quantum Hair Skin Nails. It delivers a unique solubilized keratin, an important structural protein shown in studies to promote healthy hair, skin, and nails. It effectively supports skin moisture, elasticity, and compactness, as well as overall hair and nail health and strength. Experience the difference between this powerhouse and using ordinary collagen. Just one capsule per day is all it takes. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Monday morning, you show the fight.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So, as I said before the break, Rick Santorum was on Meet the Press, and Chuck Todd was visibly shocked that Rick Santorum could possibly allege that Democrats support amnesty because they want to win more elections. Couldn't believe that Rick Santorum said that. Here's the exchange on the Meet the Press.
If you're an investor, if you're someone who's an owner, you've done very, very well under President Obama. If you're someone who's a worker, you've seen wages flatline. And so what does this president want to do? And even Bernie Sanders, they want to bring in more people to this country who are primarily unskilled and have them compete so we can keep those wages down. And for one reason, the Democrats want to do that because they believe it's politically good for them and they can win more elections. That is not in the interest of the American public.
And you think that the Democrats are for immigration, for more immigration, simply for politics for votes? They're looking for votes?
Well, if you go back and look at the history of the Democratic Party, Chuck, they have not been the party of pro-immigration. I mean, you can go back to the latest immigration report. Barbara Jordan, not a rock-ribbed conservative, said that that our immigration policy should be in the national interest, and we should have controls on immigration because of that. We have to look at the interest of American workers. And for decades, Democrats looked at the interest of the American workers until it became important for them to be on this other side because of the politics of it. No one is standing for American workers, unfortunately, in either party. Big business wants cheap labor costs. Hillary Clinton wants more votes. I want to make sure that the American worker has an opportunity to see their wages rise and their incomes increase.
All right. Well, you lost me there at the end there, Ricky. Because then he became a politician, okay? Speaking of wages, okay, real quick. I don't know if you saw this. Chipotle. You know, because the big argument here is that, and Hillary's going to make this argument that we need to raise wages, you know, and tax the rich. Okay? Because that's brilliant, you know? So, San Francisco, they're getting ready to raise their minimum wage to $15. So, according to Investors Business Daily, Chipotle in San Francisco raised his price by how much do you think they raised their price by, Steve? Take a wild, crazy guess.
For what? For any food product?
For everything, dude.
Yeah, I'd say at least 15%.
Bingo! San Francisco Chipotle is raising their prices 14.4% because the Golden Gate City has raised its minimum wage by 14%. So they're raising theirs 14.4%.
Do these politicians really believe that business is going to absorb the cost and not pass it on along?
I guess that, you know, here's the problem. They have no clue because they've never run a freaking business, okay? That's the problem, again, with this political elite class that exists in Washington. Okay? It's just, I mean, this is really easy. I guess math is really hard for politicians. Okay? And, you know, it's like these unintended consequences always. Well, we gotta raise a minimum wage. You're going to hear today, because Hillary's going to come out with her big policy economics speech. And it's going to be the same old tired themes of, we got to tax the rich. There's income inequality going on in America. We've had growth of less than 2% for 7 years now. You think that has something to do with it? Maybe. You've got the lowest labor force participation since 1978. You think that has something to do with it? No. Let's raise the minimum wage to $15. Fine. Fine. So then what will happen will be you're going to have businesses that raise their prices. It's very simple. Or they're going to lay off workers. Or they're going to automate. You know, McDonald's
That's
is
right.
starting to do that already. So you're going to pull into a Mickey D's, and you're going to talk to a machine. Okay? And that's what's going to happen. It's not that hard to figure this out. Because the problem with these politicians is they've never actually run a business. And so that's why, again, Donald Trump is resonating with people because he actually has run a business. Shocking. He's made money. The guy went to Wharton, okay? He's run businesses. He's failed. He has been married a few times. Okay? He's just like everybody else. Okay? And so, now, all these presidential candidates are now scrambling to craft a new message. They're scrambling to craft a new message. Because all of a sudden, Donald Trump brought this up. Talking about illegal aliens. And the thing about Donald Trump is, this is interesting, because I thought about this over the weekend. So I go to a restaurant the other night, Friday night. One of the guys that works there is actually Mexican. And just kidding around to the owner, or the manager, I'm sorry, who is Argentinian. Because, you know, of course, everybody in Miami are, vast majority of them, are Latino. And look, let me just explain something to you, okay? I'm not anti-immigrant, and I don't think people are anti-immigrant here. Because this is what's being painted too. My mother was from Ecuador, okay? I'm a first generation American. My mother came here legally, okay? And everybody here is a product of immigrants. We're an immigrant nation. That's what made this country great. And what we're talking about here is illegal immigrants. So I'm having this discussion with the manager, and I noticed that the Mexican waiter isn't there. Just kidding around, they said. Where's the Mexican illegal immigrant? Just kidding around, you know. And so so we started talking about Donald Trump, and the Argentinian says, "Well, you know, Donald Trump is actually telling the truth. He's saying what we're all thinking." You see, and this is my point, is that Hispanics, Latinos in this country, are not monolithic. Okay? Cubans, Dominicans, Nicaraguans, people from Spain, they're not, it's not this homogeneous band together. It doesn't exist. See, that's, again, another fallacy that everybody is trying to portray. Okay? There's not this monolithic group of people that have all come together. That is just not the case.
Well, they do the same thing with black Americans. If you're a conservative black American, you know.
Dude, forget about that. Let's get down to business here. I'm from D.C., okay? I grew up in D.C., okay? Light-skinned blacks, dark-skinned blacks don't like light-skinned blacks. Okay, it goes down to that. Okay, comes down to that. Dominicans don't like Cubans. Okay, and vice versa. And the Cubans don't like the Puerto Ricans. I mean, you know, to say that you can just dump all these people together and say they're all against this. No, they're not. And if you talk to a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Latinos, they're not down with illegal aliens because a lot of them came here legally. Okay? So don't sit here and tell me that Donald Trump isn't going to win the vote because of what he, what he said. That's simply not true. So, the brand. People talk about the brand of Donald Trump and how the brand is going to suffer. Do you think Donald Trump really cares at this point about his brand suffering? His brand isn't going to suffer. He's getting so much name recognition from his brand. He could care less. That's why he's doing this. Okay? This is the last thing left for him to do. This is the feather in his cap. Okay? And he's going to make some noise. And he's so far been very successful. And he talked about the silent majority being back also over the weekend. These are the people that have been marginalized and ignored by, again, the inside the beltway crowd of political elites that have run this country for the longest time and have ignored everyone else. We'll be right back.
I'm using my own money. I'm not using the lobbyists. I'm not using donors. I don't care. I'm really rich.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky. He's nowhere to be found. The world's most powerful drug lords escapes from a prison in Mexico for the second time. His name, Joaquin Guzman, better known as El Chapo. He's last seen in the shower, then escapes through a hole and uses an underground tunnel to get out. Here's the Blaze Radio's Greg Moore.
Border Patrol agents on high alert after a drug kingpin escapes from a maximum security prison in Mexico. Authorities say Joaquin Guzman is responsible for smuggling more cocaine, meth, and pot into the U.S. than anyone else. Guzman escaping through an elaborate mile-long tunnel that had been dug under his shower cell and was equipped with air vents and a motorized cart to take him to a small farmhouse. Greg Moore, The Blaze News.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump tweeting, Mexico's biggest drug lord escapes from jail. Unbelievable corruption, and USA is paying the price. I told you so.
We have gone from preventing Iran having a nuclear ability to managing it.
The Obama administration set on doing a deal with Iran, but both Republicans and Democrats do not like the terms. The Blaze Radio's Chris Vermilion now with reaction from New Jersey Senator Democrat Bob Menendez. Here's his report.
New Jersey Democrat Senator Bob Menendez, who sits on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, speaking on ABC's This Week, and he says the proposed nuclear deal between Iran and other world leaders does nothing to stop the Islamic Nation from getting a nuclear weapon.
We have an uranium enrichment deep inside of a mountain. That doesn't happen for a peaceful civilian program. That's going to stay. So the question is, even President Obama said that under this potential deal, in 12, 13 years, they will have a pathway towards a nuclear bomb should they choose to do so.
And Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker getting into the race today. He'll become the 15th Republican to run for president. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio, police still looking for two men they say shot another man to death in the north area of that city. Police Sergeant Vince Lewis says the two men started arguing with the victim before they pulled out a gun.
An adult male was shot after a struggle with between the victim and two unknown subjects. They were adults. I believe they were black males.
Those two suspects were seen running from the area. A Pennsylvania man comes to Phoenix to horse around, ends up in the Pokey. Sheriff Gerard Pyle says 68-year-old Michael Crawford flew out here to mate with a mayor.
He decided to buy an airline ticket to come down here to Phoenix to meet and have sex with a horse.
Crawford is retired following his work on the Patriot missile system for the U.S. government. And Donald Trump says the city of Phoenix violated fire code by the number of people allowed into the convention center Saturday to his event. 12 to 15,000 people there. Get your news on demand anytime. Visit ArizonaNewsRadio.com. I'm John Gilliland.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of a foundation for a better life. You're going to find some slowing eastbound I-10 around 59th Avenue all the way into the tunnel. Chandler, look for a wreck. Eastbound 202 at Dobson. Phoenix, we still have that serious accident, 67th Avenue, this one at Van Buren. Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat. Today, they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center for the rest of the morning, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and low near 81. As we head into the day, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny, high near 107. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy and low near 82. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 107. I'm Ron Pritchard from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, 91 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. More Edward Woodson comes your way on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So, as I said to you, I was watching Meet the Press, okay? And it's always amazing to me. I always like to watch Meet the Press just because I want to see exactly, you know, what Chuck Todd and the crew are going to say. One of the things that Chuck Todd talked about this weekend was he interviewed Nikki Haley because they were obsessed with the Confederate flag controversy. I mean, they were obsessed with it. And I knew that was going to happen, bashing Trump and the Confederate flag. So he's got Nikki Haley on, Governor Nikki Haley. And he somehow turned the conversation talking about the tragic murders in Charleston to voter ID laws. Listen, listen to what he did. This is from MRC TV.
You know, the one of the issues of Clemente Pinckney was the voting rights laws, and that's been a big controversy with a lot of African Americans, particularly, and with a lot of Republican governors. Do you see the issue differently now? Do you understand the what some African Americans believe these voter ID laws end up being a way to single them out or disenfranchise them?
What?
You know, the flag coming down was a moment that I felt like needed to happen. That doesn't mean that I philosophically change the way I think about other things. I've never seen the voter ID as a racial issue. For whites, for blacks, for Asians, for anyone. What I see is it's an issue where people prove who they are. And I think that's something very important to our democracy. It's important to America. And I think that having to show a picture ID when you get on a plane and having to show a picture ID when you buy Sudafed, you absolutely should have to show picture ID to vote. And what we've done in South Carolina is make sure that it's...
What a crazy concept, having to show ID when you vote. Here to discuss is Mike Opelka from The Blaze. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Edward. Do you want to see my ID to make sure it's me?
Well, we've got actually software that does
voice recognition software. I give Haley a lot of credit because she kept getting pointed in a couple different directions after this. Right. They tried to squeeze around the voter ID, and I thought she handled that very nimbly. They also turned this into, does this make you the vice presidential candidate? You know, one of the best answers she gave in both of those cases was, this is about the nine people who lost their lives.
Right.
So I give her all the props for talking about the real issue here and not falling into the trap. That was very encouraging.
She stayed right on point. And it's like, it was amazing to me that Chuck Todd used somehow he was able to fashion this into an argument about voter ID law. Where, like, I'm like, wow, where'd that come from?
Well, I'll tell you, you know exactly where it came from.
I know.
It came from the office of Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the DNC.
It's amazing.
Keep this on voter suppression. That's all Sharpton talked about in the wake of the taking down of the flag on Friday on his show. This will be the next push that they will say this is the next thing we have to do is remove any protection that right of voting has. And I just don't understand it because the people are so against it. To a person, or at least in every demographic, people say, yeah, you should have an ID to vote. But these guys just see it as if you dare ask anyone for an ID, you're a racist. So I was racially profiled at the airport, at the train station, at the bank, everywhere I go. How dare they?
Listen, I have, I get allergies. I know you do too. I get allergies certain times of the year. And, in Florida, you have to show an ID. When I go to buy, I use Claritin D, which is actually a great product. I'm not being paid anything to say that. But, so I go to, the grocery store and I have to buy Claritin D and I gotta show my ID and I have to sign for it. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Just to buy.
Yeah, New York, they have a log as well.
Yeah, they
so
have
they
a
can
log.
Monitor. And I'm sure we now have a bureaucracy that we've created with union people who have to monitor the logs. And you know nobody's keeping track of that.
No,
there
of
is,
course not.
If somebody's inputting all this data into a giant computer, it's even more disturbing. But I'm betting all those handwritten logs, because I've seen your chicken scratch and you've seen mine. They're indecipherable. No one's going to know who the hell wrote that.
Exactly. And so, you know, here's the thing. It's, Chuck Todd used this tragedy in Charleston when he's interviewing Nikki Haley. He used it politically to talk about voter ID. Yet in the same show, he was indignant when Rick Santorum talked about how the Democrats are using amnesty to win more elections. He couldn't believe it. He's like, what are you talking about? Are you trying to say that Democrats use immigration for political purposes? Yeah, dude, because that's what everybody does. Okay, and that's what the Democrat Party does, okay? And you're going to see it today. Today, Hillary Clinton's going to come out with this big position on economics, and she's going to talk about income inequality, raising wages, and how the 1% should be taxed more. And everything is political. Everything they do on Meet the Press is political. Everything the Democrats do is political. Everything Republicans do is political because they're politicians.
Yeah, and that you're absolutely right. And that's why people like Donald Trump scare the hell out of these guys. Whether or not you support Trump, whether or not you ever envision a Trump presidency, what he's done is force the conversation back to truth. And as Orwell taught us, when telling the truth becomes a liability, you know that all hell's about to break loose. But Hillary is the prime example, and I'm glad you brought up MSNBC and CNN. They're both bringing on experts, especially with Latino surnames, who will then tell us that unless we change or deny Donald Trump and what he's saying, we're never going to see a GOP president. And they're all demanding that every candidate denounce Donald Trump. Well, I'm sorry, you don't get to run the other party. That's just not how this works. But the networks, I think, should be ashamed of themselves for how they've allocated time to this. I don't know if you played or saw the Washington Free Beacon's clip of 24 hours of CNN, where they played every mention of Donald Trump's name. How many times do you think in 24 hours CNN mentioned Trump's name?
130,000 times.
Yeah, I know you're exaggerating to clarify, but it was over 10 times an hour.
Listen, you just raised a really good point, and I said this before the break. I find it very offensive because here's the thing: I am Latino, okay, and a lot of people don't know that. My mother was from Ecuador. I was raised by a single mother. Okay, I spoke Spanish growing up at home. I still speak Spanish fluently. And I am a Latino. And I find it, frankly, offensive that we're all put in the same box, that we're all this monolithic group, and we all agree with each other, and it's just not true. And I got to tell you that a lot of Latinos that I speak with all the time here in Miami, they actually agree with Donald Trump. And so those stories aren't getting out. And I find it offensive that it's like saying it's the same thing as saying that all black people are going to vote Democrat, that all black people are liberal, all Hispanics are this, all everybody is everything. And I find it patently offensive.
Well, and history and facts show us differently than what we're being told. This Harvard did a study within the last decade that showed second-generation Latinos in America are traditionally more conservative than their parents, to the point where they're almost 70% are straight-ahead conservative Republicans. That's second generation. And they tie it to prosperity. So the work ethic that brought many of those folks here to get the freedom and the job opportunities has paid off, as we know capitalism does pay off, in terms of respect for individual rights and freedom and capitalism and self-reliance. And I think if we would just make that statement or talk about those things, the Cuban community is such a great example. And when you look at guys like the Cruz family, and his dad came here with $100 sewn into the lining of his underwear, and how that's led to that family becoming what they are today. And the great, solid individuals who support freedom and liberty. It's just, and they're everywhere in your community.
Yeah, and you know, you make a really good point, because, and I have to tell you this, my mother, for instance, when she came to this country, she was a big supporter of JFK, obviously, first, Catholic president. It was a big deal to her. She, you know, it was, you know, Camelot, right? So she was my mom was a big lib her whole life. She was a liberal.
Yeah,
Democrat.
But, you know, if JFK was here today, the Democrats would probably not run him out of town. He cut taxes, remember?
Exactly. And that's my point. And I grew up, I was like Michael P. Keaton, you know? I was like,
I have this image of you with your little briefcase and your suit.
I was. So, you know, I mean, again, to think that there is this monolithic view among Hispanics is just not true, but that's what the media keeps telling us, you know, that we should be outraged. And frankly, I'm outraged that portrait is being painted with this broad brush. All right, Mike, I got to run, man, but thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
God bless you, man. Talk soon.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh, yeah. I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a harmless...
When it comes to bullying, don't validate, eliminate. Adults have the power to stop bullying in our schools.
I'm Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. It's up to us as educators, as parents, as adults, to stand up on behalf of bullied kids. It's caring adults that can stop bullying, fix it, and prevent it. Help us create safe, bully-free learning environments for all students. One caring adult can make all the difference. Be that adult and take the pledge at nea.org/bullyfree. That's nea.org/bullyfree.
A message from the National Education Association.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
I'm too hot. Caught a police and a fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon want to retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band brought that one. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
Welcome back to the show. All right, we've got a caller from South Florida, Carl. Hey, Carl, thanks for calling the show, and thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You know, I really think that this Donald Trump campaign has legs. He really is speaking how many of us do feel, and it's, you know, after 7 years of what we've been through. But I want to point out something that a lot of people aren't speaking about, and I have a couple quotes as well. He was born on Flag Day, June 14, 1946. He doesn't look his age, but if he does become president, he would be older than Ronald Reagan.
Wow. You know what? You're right.
He would be 70 years old, and Ronald Reagan became president at 69. And, you know, when you're that age, you think to yourself, and since I'm in good health, I look okay, but you never know. You know, tomorrow's promise to no one. He's had a good life, and he's doing it for our country. He really is. He feels it. You can tell it. It comes across. It's sincere, and it's truthful. It really is. And it's long overdue, because some of us, we're fortunate. We get to fly over this country, as I have every month for the last 30 years. This country, from sea to sea, it has so much potential, and it's untapped. And unfortunately, this political correctness, this awful, awful way of thinking has just infiltrated our American brains, and people are just thinking very, very contrary to what we were brought up with. We need to bring back civics classes. We really do. That Orwell quote was back in 1949. It was, during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act.
Yeah. You know, in fact, it's funny you said that, because as we were doing the show prep today, I said that to Steve. I said exactly that same quote.
Well, I've got another one from you that goes back a long time, over 100 years ago. Teddy Roosevelt said, "The American people are slow to wrath, but when their wrath is once kindled, it burns like a consuming flame." 1901.
And I think that's happening right now. I think you're seeing that right now. I think.
Yeah, I just wish that, you know, he'd speak a little bit more about what America, because we really need to define for ourselves in a very watchful world just what it means to be an American. And he's the only one that walks into a room like a man. We've got too many of these political eunuchs today, and it's very refreshing. It really is.
Well, Carl, I tell you what was refreshing was your call. Thank you so much for calling and pointing that out to me today.
I've got one more,
go
if
ahead.
I can.
Quick.
And I tell you, it's this one I wrote myself. Tolerance is the last virtue of a society in decline, debased, lawless, and depraved. You have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carl. I appreciate it. Speaking of political correctness, have you seen this, Steve? There's this new MTV show.
Yeah, the one about
shames white people,
right?
For
white
what
privilege.
White privilege. What they've done in it. Listen to the trailer. Here's the trailer. And by the way, the guy that does this show is.
So we're doing a film for MTV on what it means to be young and white.
Okay.
Okay.
Say the wrong thing, then suddenly you are a racist.
I'm trying to be careful here.
I don't want to offend people.
I feel like you guys are attacking me now.
If I bring up any sort of race issue with my parents, they immediately assume that I'm demonizing them.
Give me a hug.
How might your life be different if you weren't white? When you say white, what does that mean to you?
We've never had to internalize what white people have done in America, but here, you can't escape that.
Feels like I'm being discriminated against. You kind of get this feeling that things belong to you.
I'm getting uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
Hey, this is great. Let's get all uncomfortable together.
So, this is this show that basically shames white people, okay, that MTV is putting on. And by the way, this is a show that is hosted by a guy who is still right now an illegal. He's here in this country illegal. The guy's name is Jose Antonio Vargas. He worked for the Washington Post and the Washington Post and the Huffington Post.
Say it ain't so. They wouldn't hire anybody. It's illegal.
Crazy. He's the guy that outed himself. And people go, oh, but he's won a Pulitzer Prize. So apparently, if you're a white person, you should feel a certain amount of angst.
Sorry.
Because, you're as white as it gets, Steve, so you should feel.
Hey, I've got
ashamed.
The Florida tan. I've lived in South Florida since the late 50s.
You should be ashamed of yourself. And I can pass all the time. And especially because of my name, Edward Woodson. Nobody. When people always freak out when I tell them that I'm Hispanic or I start speaking Spanish. People are like, can't believe it.
Well, you know what kills me too is MTV is anything but about music television these days.
What happened to MTV, dude? I mean,
that I watch it, but at least when I used to have music videos, I used to watch some of them.
Do you remember, like, MTV, like, you could always have it in the background and stuff, you know? They had, like, MTV was actually awesome, because they would actually have, you know, music videos playing all the time. So you always knew, like, for instance, if you were, like, at your house or something, or if you had people over, you could kind of put MTV on, and it was good, because it was like, you know.
All the channels are that way now. I mean, Discovery used to be good. It's anything but, you know, or arts and entertainment or history. It's anything but history anymore.
No, History Channel's like Ice Road Truckers.
Axemen.
Swamp People. Like, there's no history going on at History Channel. I want to see black and white footage of Hitler, okay?
When they started, that's what it was.
That's what I want to see. Or A&E. Great. A&E. Remember A&E? They would have the... those documentaries about people's lives. Now A&E is like, I don't even know what's going on in A&E anymore, you know? And History Channel is anything but history. You have to go to like History Channel, 4 to get any actual
history. Or military history.
Yeah, you can't, there's no history going on, dude. Okay? Because it's all, again, everything is all about, trying to be pop culture and cool and hipster. And that's why, you know, you have a guy like Barack Obama that was elected president. All right, we're out of time for the day, but check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. If you missed the show or you want to listen to some past shows, just go to woodsonarchive.com. That's woodsonarchive.com. Follow me on Twitter at Ed Woodson Show as well, and like us on Facebook. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
At some point, invest your brain energy to recognize when something is fringe.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
Have you looked in your jewelry box lately? If you're like most people, chances are you'll have all kinds of jewelry, gems, and diamonds that you no longer wear, or watches that no longer work. If these items would be more valuable to you as cash, come to London Gold, the jewelry store that smart shoppers have trusted for over 30 years. With today's high prices for gold, now is the time to let London Gold buy from you. Stop by one of our three valley-wide locations, where our precious metal specialists are always on hand to evaluate your items. We will carefully test and examine each piece to determine its weight and current market value. Then we will make you an offer. If you accept, we'll pay you on the spot. And there's never any pressure to sell. Walk away anytime. No charge, no hassle. And if by chance something catches your eye in our showroom, take advantage of our 20% bonus offer towards a new purchase. Imagine, in one visit you can trade in old style for new ones and take home cash to boot.
London Gold, it's the best.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, weather. This is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of astronomy. Astronomers take on Pluto's case. Pluto as a planet is not dead yet. The same group that made Pluto into a dwarf planet back in 2006, the